The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, National Ambulance Service paramedics are undertaking a countrywide 24-hour work stoppage today across the country. And our reporter, Sarah Madden, I believe, Sarah, you're in Port Laois.
I am, Ciara. Yes, I've actually been covering this story since this morning. I kicked off at the beginning of the 24-hour strike, as you say, at one of Ireland's largest ambulance bases at Dublin South Central. But right here, as you say, I'm in Port Laois. I'm looking across at the Midland Regional Hospital, where picketers are keeping this protest going into the evening. Their spirits remain high, and they're being bolstered even higher by the continuous beeping of horns from the public supporting from their cars on the road. Actually, just in front of me now, there is a school bus going by. The children inside are clapping on the picketers. And there's actually also children on the picket line. Some of those striking have brought their children with them to support. Now, many of those taking up placards here have been in the HSE for more than 30 years. They say they're looking for recognition of how much the job has changed in that time. They're also hoping to safeguard the future of the service.
When I started, it was more or less based as a patient transport services. We used to go out, pick up patients, get them into hospital. The doctors and nurses look after them. But the new staff in the last 15 years, 20 years, have upskilled so much and taken on so much responsibility with medication, treatment, diagnosing what's wrong with people, finding the appropriate hospital to bring them with their injuries. Instead of being a jack of all trades now, we really have to be a master of everything. So the newer staff are so well trained and so motivated to help people out that they deserve to be paid for what they're doing. And it is a longer program of training that they have to do than what I did anyway, but we have upskilled since.
We don't want to be here, that's the bottom line. But if we don't do something, as like what has happened in the last 6 years, nothing will happen, you know. So I think it's important that we stand up and we say, no, we've just had enough of it now. So, you know, at the end of the day, everything we're doing is in the best interest of the patients, you know. So this is what it's about, a better outcome for our patients. So we have new staff coming in. They're not going to stay for the wages that are there presently, you know. So that's why we're here.
And what has today been like for you?
It's been fine. We've had a lot of support, as you can hear in the background. There's a lot of horns honking to support us. Some of our colleagues in the hospital have even bought us drinks and left in food for us. So, yeah, the support has been good. Everyone passing by seems to be in favour and in support of us, which is great to see, because the last thing we want is we want anyone to suffer because of what we're doing. But we see it as a last resort. We have nowhere else to go. And this is our only option at the moment.
And that was Sarah Madden there reporting from outside the Midland Regional Hospital in Port Laois. We're also joined by reporter Jamie O'Hara. Jamie, you're in Cork. How's it going?
Good afternoon, Ciara. Well, there's about 80 ambulance staff based here at the Cork City Ambulance Station at what has to be one of among the country's busiest bases. It's just off the N40 South Ring Road beside the Kinsale Road roundabout. And I suppose, Ciara, the takeaway here is that they say there is no such thing as an ambulance driver anymore. It's a much more complex job these days. Now, around 40 ambulance staff, they started picketing on the footpaths outside the entrance to the base from around 8 a.m, including a little dog called Ben, who was wearing a life vest with advanced paramedic on it. Now, I was speaking to a paramedic attached to SIP2 here earlier, and he said that the contingency cover in Cork City is at around 46% of what it would usually be, and that crews will go where they are tasked by the National Emergency Operations Centre today. And actually, while I was here earlier, I have seen an ambulance with lights and sirens pass by on its way to or from a call out. Now, I've been here since morning, and motorists are showing support. There's constant beeping, waving out windows of cars, trucks, vans. And while the strike will continue into tomorrow morning, this picket will stop at 8 p.m. as darkness falls. Now, morale overall, while they are heartened by the support here, morale is low among crews who were talking to me about frequently working over their hours and the difficulty in retaining experienced staff who can, you know, go into any industry and get better pay and conditions with their skills. And I was also speaking to Advanced Paramedic Supervisor Denise Ford, who has been in the service for 23 years. I was speaking to her here today, and she outlined that staff feel like they have no other choice but to strike.
We want to push the service forward. We want to come in line with international standards. We want the service to move in the right direction. I mean, like, it's unrecognisable from when I joined. We used to have the old dual stretcher ambulances where you had two patients at a time. These stretchers barely had safety belts. You know, things have come a long way. Now we're single vehicle patients, like one patient per ambulance, per crew. Focus is very much patient focus. The care is very, very high standard. As I said, it's all degree and master's level qualifications here. You're talking about highly skilled, highly trained, highly qualified individuals. We deserve this without the preconditions. You know, we never know when the radio goes off what we're going to go to, and we're prepared for that. We're prepared to go, we're prepared to deal with every situation that we're confronted with.
And that was Jamie O'Hara there reporting from Cork. I'm joined now by Dr. Lisa Cunningham, consultant in emergency medicine in the West, but also herself a paramedic with helicopter crews. Lisa, you want to talk about the other side of the story, but there's been lots of conversations about whether or not this strike is affecting, I suppose, the level of cover of by the ambulance services of vulnerable patients. You have a different perspective on why people felt compelled to undertake this strike.
Hi, Ciara. How's things? And I think you probably referenced it. I popped up a few stories yesterday on my Instagram about it, just about the alternative or kind of the other side of it. And I am in full agreement with all the paramedics and APs and the EMTs that have been speaking on loads of the different media today. They have literally gotten to this point, not just overnight, not in the last week. This has been something that has been brewing for the last 6 years. And I think that's kind of been forgotten about today. This didn't just happen overnight or the last week. So this has been ongoing for a few years. And even for this actual strike, the date of this strike was actually mentioned probably about a month and a half ago, because I know that we would have had notifications of it. So the responsibility is also on the HSE and the government to have prevented this strike. So this has been brewed for the last 6 years, these recommendations. And this is not just about a pay increase for the guys and the girls. This is actually about them future-proofing the ambulance service. This is about them being able to be paid appropriately for the skill sets that they have. Mm. And as Denise said there, when she started like 20 years ago, I mean, it was the traditional ambulance driver, inverted commas. Now look at all the skills that they have. And even in the last 6 years, the amount more that has been added to it, but they haven't had that in reflection. And where have we seen that? We've seen that because a lot of them have left the service afterwards because they're not actually getting paid to be able to, you know, have those skill sets. They're being valued elsewhere. So the paramedics, APs and EMTs are seeing this. And I feel that this has probably been lost today, and it's just more talking about that.
Lisa, this is a genuine question.
The reasons behind it isn't really being looked at.
Their skills are valued elsewhere. Where does somebody who's trained as an ambulance personnel or a paramedic, where do they go if they leave that service?
So, I mean, they could go actually into the private ambulance service. They could go into GP surgeries. They can absolutely go abroad to the UK or up the north, etc. I have one of my colleagues that went, or my paramedic colleagues as well, she went into the home care industry as well. Okay. So they have a huge amount of roles that they can go to and be valued more. And actually, even with the timings and, you know, the hours, etc. I mean, if they're not being valued, people will vote with the feet, which is exactly what we've seen, because they have a huge staffing and recruitment and retention issue within the National Ambulance Service.
I'm fully aware that they have become vastly more skilled. I had the misfortune to have to use the ambulance service myself about 2 years ago, 18 months ago, when I dislocated a hip, which was very unpleasant. But I was very lucky because an advanced paramedic arrived. So before I even hit the hospital, I had a line in, I was on morphine, I had gas and air. I, you know what I mean? My pain was being managed from the moment they arrived, and I was very grateful to them. So I'm fully aware they don't just drive the van and take you from A to B. I am aware of that. But what do you say? Because the HSE and the government and all that are saying that there was a deal on the table. It was brokered by the WRC. It was supported by the Labour Court. It was recommended by both unions. And it was offering 3 to 14% on top of the 9.25% that they were already going to get. Mm-hmm. And even though both unions that are now going on strike recommended it to their members rejected it. So there was a deal on the table, and it looks on paper like it was a considerable amount of money.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to know that the unions that are there, and they're absolutely fantastic, but the paramedics, APs, the EMTs are the ones that are literally doing this job for 20 years, and they can see where they're going to fall down with it. Now, the provisions of those deals will be quite interesting, because I did hear the grapevine that one of them was, and actually it was reported in the media, that there was going to be a condition that they won't be able to strike for 15 years or something afterwards. And that was reported in one of the national media outlets. So, I mean, things like that in a deal, isn't actually going to be worth it. Also, there was other aspects where they were taking away different allowances off the paramedics, APs and EMTs as well. And those finite details are obviously the reason that the members and the whole group of them, there's about 2,000 of them, who have worked, as you've heard so many times, that they've worked 20 years in this service. So they know exactly themselves what's the ones that are going to be able to draw more people in, keep staff in the actual jobs that they have, and future-proof the rest of the ambulance service, because they absolutely are crying out for it.
Okay. And maybe lastly, and I appreciate you coming on, I appreciate all that you're saying on the fine details of those deals. How are things today in our emergency departments? How are they being affected by what we're seeing happening with the ambulance service?
So I'm based in the west of Ireland. I'm actually on call today in the emergency department as well. So we've absolutely had Echo and Delta calls coming in. So we've had the emergency calls. The Echo and Delta are the most serious calls. And we've had them coming in through our emergency departments as well. The public, any of the patients that we have that have made their own way in, the majority of them that we're talking with, if we bring up about the ambulance service strike, they are absolutely in support with them. I know from the two bases that are nearby to myself, speaking with a few of them as well, some of them have left their line as well because they've been tasked, etc., elsewhere. So the Echo and Deltas are absolutely there. Public are very much in support of it, and certainly from our department and from our healthcare, we're in support of them as well. And I hope that they feel the love in that way, and we really hope that the HSC, the National Ambulance Service, can come to the table and listen to the guys that have a huge amount of experience and really, really want to just be able to future-proof the ambulance service for everybody, for the safety of the patients, and to make sure that people want to get into this job as well.
All right. Look, thank you for joining us on all of that. That is Dr. Lisa Cunningham, their consultant in emergency medicine. Let us know what you think. Obviously, both our reporters say people beeping to support the ambulance services on strike. Lots of support out there, I have no doubt, but would love to hear what people think listening to the show. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.